We don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
All right. Good morning to everybody out there. Thank you guys for tuning in. We're about 4 minutes late. We had some technical difficulties, but I am super excited about today's show. Live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. This place is lively already. We just had a couple of twins from Sanger High. We're getting their Letterman's jackets all situated and putting their patches where they wanted to on their Sanger Apache jacket. So that was really fun to check out right in front of me here. I do my show from the Letterman's jacket room off to the right-hand side of First String Sports. The only place you could get your jackets. It's something that every senior should have, whether you're in band, color guard, obviously an athlete. It's something that you'll carry with you for a long time. And I have mine still, class of 1989. I actually don't. I assume my parents got it here, First String, maybe in Reilly. I'm not sure. But anyway, you got to have a Letterman's jacket. First String Sports is the place to get yours. A couple announcements. This is actually my last show of 2024. It is December 14th. Christmas is a mere 11 days away, which is crazy to me, but I'm going to be taking the next 2 weeks off, spending time with my family. I'm going to go out of town for a little bit, have a chance to recharge my batteries, like most of the athletes out there as well. And I know the coaches right now in season are absolutely in a grind, an absolute grind right now in the basketball season. We're going to talk a lot about basketball on today's show, a little bit about football, of course, because state championship, there's a big one happening today at 3:30 Central High School against Edison Huntington Beach. We'll be talking about that one a bit. But, this is a full 2 hours talking about high school sports, maybe a little bit about Fresno State football. But I got some other good news. I've been renewed for next year as well, 40 shows total during the calendar year, so from January to December. Excited. First String Sports is still all in, so thank you to them. So 40 more shows for next year, so we're going to roll it back. Take a little summer off as well, but I just love bringing you guys the news about high school sports, interviews with the coaches, insights into recruiting news, insights into tournaments, and there's lots of tournaments going on right now. Might as well tell you guys, we've got a few minutes here about who's coming on the show today. Well, I've got four great dudes, first of all. All these guys I have really good relationships with. They're informative. I might as well just tell you who these guys are. So Clovis West girls basketball, you know how legendary this program is. It's a national level program. Coach Craig Campbell is coming on the show. Wanted to get him before 2024 ended, because he's playing in some really high level tournaments this year. The girls are currently 8-0, ranked number 8th in the state. You know, they got that national championship, state championship in 2017. They won 12 straight Central Section championships. Always fun when Coach Campbell comes on the show. A lot of talk about basketball, obviously, but we usually throw in some pop culture stuff. I always have a lot of fun with Coach Campbell. After that, Coach John Hines, he's the boys basketball coach at Clovis High. We spent a lot of time together the last couple weeks checking out tournaments. His team is playing in the Clovis West Nike Invitational right now. So John and I have spent some quality time together. In fact, yesterday we were at the Clovis West games, and the power went out between Clovis East and Indercom. Power went out with about 3 minutes and 30 seconds left. Indercom was up 59-54. There had just been a technical foul called on Indercom, and then the power went out. Boom, done. We waited for about 15 minutes. There's a video out there on Twitter. Everyone, of course, right, turns their cell phones on, shines it. It was an interesting night. Somebody hit a power pole, I think, because stoplights were out, you know, around the Millbrook area, Alluvial Knees, that area. And they're going to resume the game at that moment, shooting two technical free throws is Clovis East. At 3 o'clock, play out the rest of the game. And then Clovis East is going to play at 3:30 another full game. So wild stuff. And I just got to tell you, that Clovis West Nike Invitational is one of my favorite events of the entire year. I love Cellon Arena. I love watching all the Central Section Championship games. But I love the Clovis West Invitational. The hospitality rooms is amazing. The grub is off the charts. Tons of people are at this event. Tons of really good local teams. Obviously, Clovis West, Clovis East, Clovis High. I just mentioned that. Fresno Christian is in it. Some teams from up north. Vance Wahlberg was there last night. Vance was there checking out one of his commits, DJ Stickman, who he coached at Clovis West. That dude's legit. Lefty, plays bigger than what he really is, about 6'1", had a few dunks last night. So it was fun seeing Coach Wahlberg there at his own stomping grounds. All right, so we got John Hines. After that, top of the hour, San Joaquin Memorial boys basketball coach Brad Rosnovsky. He's going to join me. Again, one of the great guys in the coaching sphere. In the Central Section. Love catching up with Brad. Love talking with Brad. He has coached some high-level players, obviously. Sent a lot of guys to the college ranks. Won a state championship a few years ago. Talk about Jalen Green all the time. Played for him for 3 years. We're going to talk about his big win last night. Big win over Clovis West. Actually coming off a loss to Intercom. So nice bounce-back win for them. We're going to get into some fun stuff, obviously, about his team. But it's kind of the landscape of college basketball, right? When he talks to coaches now, college coaches, what do they want to know? Like, how much is this guy going to cost me? Odd. 5 years ago, that was, right? That wasn't even a discussion. Now those are the things you got to talk about. Are incoming freshmen even going to get playing time, right? The transfer portal is huge. These college coaches have to win basketball games to keep their jobs. So Brad has some insight into that. Excited about talking with him at the top of hour number two. And then Scott Bemis is coming on. Scott is right now in SoCal. He is covering the state championship games. He's going to give a full review. He is the sports director at KC24. So he's going to give a full review later tonight, obviously, of that big Central State Championship football game against Edison Huntington Beach. And, yes, that is that same Edison Huntington Beach team that lost to Clovis West in week one, a game we did on 1430 ESPN. You guys know who the coach of Edison Huntington Beach is, right? Jeff Grady, who played quarterback for Coach Pat Hill, then eventually became his offensive coordinator, and now playing Central High in the state title game. Central guy has a really good shot. And I think last week I predicted they were going to win it all. Even before their game against St. Ignatius last week. One of the great games I've seen in state history. Brandon Smith scored 5 touchdowns in that one last Saturday. 3 on the ground, 1 through the air. And an incredible play. Strip sack. Yeah, he played every down on defense, too. Strip sack. Picked the ball up in one motion. Stood up first. Right? So strip sack brings the guy down. Stands up, picks the ball up, races, gets to the sideline, and boom, gone. One of the most incredible plays I've seen in a high-level football game. So can Brandon Smith do it? And teammates for Central, don't put it past them. I think they're going to do it. I think they're going to win. I mentioned Scott Bemis. Yep. So that is the show. 4 guests coming on. There's tons of more stuff I definitely want to talk about. The Clovis West tournament, like I said, one of my favorite events. But there's lots of basketball happening. I know there's some tournaments in Bakersfield. North High is hosting one as well. There's a few at the coast. So lots of great stuff to talk about. Lots of great things happening in the Central Section. And I'm excited to talk with these guys about you. All right, so coming up after the break, we got Clovis West coach Craig Campbell of the girls program. He is live here at First String Sports. He's next on 1430 ESPN. All right, welcome back to the Central Valley Sports Report. Listen to it on 1430 ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Feel like I rushed through that opener a bit. I had so much more to talk to you guys about, but I'm excited about our next guest, a friend of the show, a close friend of mine as well. Wanted to get him in before we hit Christmas, and he goes off to all these big tournaments that he does. And, God, can you believe it? Like, when we come back in January, league is going to start. Track play and leagues around the central section is going to start. That's, I don't know, what do we call that, phase two or maybe even phase three of the basketball season. So definitely want to get Coach Campbell in here, coming straight from practice, and happy to have him here. So, Coach, thanks for making the short drive from Clovis West after some shoot-around. So how you doing?
Good. Just, we finished prepping for Arroyo Grande today and raced on over and excited to be here.
I think both of us, we're a little out of breath right now. Things are moving really fast this morning. Speaking of really fast, Christmas,
yes.
Right? We're December 14th. Christmas is in, if my Common Core math skills are good, 11 days, right? I was at Costco before Thanksgiving, and they already had their Christmas stuff up, their fake trees, which we have one now. It's already paid for itself after 2 years.
Yeah.
It becomes quicker and quicker, right? Getting into the Christmas spirit, right? So what's your opinion? What goes on in your family? Like, when is the proper time to put up Christmas lights, Christmas tree, the wreaths, and all that stuff? Has that been an issue in your family, or what's the word?
It's ironic because we just had this banter during the holidays because my daughter, Madison, now we have kids that are young adults, and they're starting their families, and, they're – futures, and Maddie wanted to decorate for Christmas like mid-November, and led to this big banter because she claims it's Christmas season, so it deserves a lot more time than a month. And my argument is, you have to complete Thanksgiving. You're supposed to give thanks, close that chapter, and then prepare for the Christmas season. So for me, day after Thanksgiving is open and fair. Anything before that is premature.
You're a traditionalist. Right, I think our generation agrees with that. We got to stay strong, man. We can't let this younger generation, right, start creeping in. Who knows? Maybe by the day after Halloween.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't like being bombarded at Costco and these places with the next holiday when we're not even at the one that's coming. So let's finish a holiday, then turn our sights to the next one.
I agree.
Can't get ahead of yourself on the schedule, right?
No, you can't. There's an internal clock in all of us,
yep.
Right? With the school year as well, and with Christmas.
Looking ahead gets you beat.
Yep. And speaking of getting you beat, you guys keep on rolling. You guys are 8-0 this season. I think you've outscored. I wrote it down somewhere. Outscored opponents like 83-30 something on the year so far. I know you got some tournaments. We're going to talk about that in a second, but. How's the season going so far? What do you like about this year's team?
We're really enjoying this group. Obviously graduating 2 4-year guards in Athena and Araya, there were big shoes to fill. They did so much for us on both ends of the floor, and we're such a fixture for 4 years. And to see us really mature and develop, see some kids really step up, we're a different team this year. Alexis having, a full 10 months now under her belt. She's day and night where she was 10 months ago. She's just a dominant force right now and getting better, which is scary. And so that's exciting. And just seeing the growth of kids like, Ramey Chapman's been handed the reins, and, she had a 4-game stretch of averaging over 8 assists a game, and people get so hung up in points, and it's maddening because points isn't what wins you games. And when you attribute what assists are, if Ramey has 10 points, okay, great, but she adds 8 assists, that's a minimum of 16 points. So now you're at 26 points attributed to what your production is, plus with the way we played, 4 or 5 of those are probably threes. So now you're at a 30-point production. And so she's doing a great job. And then just the continued development of, obviously we have the staples of Alexis Keegan and Riley, but Milani Warren's having a terrific year. Jordan Ibarra and Jocelyn Martinez are really they almost give us like 7 starters right now. The freshmen, Sydney Swillis and McKenna Curry, are really blossoming. 2 future all-track players. Senior Mia Reyes is coming back from an injury, and she's starting to kind of gain stride a little bit. So, and then we got other kids that are getting back from the injury bug. So we're excited. It's starting to gel a little bit. We got a long way to go from where we want to be, but I don't know if you're ever there, especially you know me. But it's fun. It's a fun group of kids. They're working hard. We're really enjoying it.
So Alexis, obviously, you know, what, 6 foot one?
Six,
you know,
post, 6'3".
She's 6'3 right now. UNLV committed to UNLV. You talk about her development a bit. So, like, what is, you know, having a tall girl in the middle, what does that do for your team, right? Yeah, I mean, you've had a few over the years, but
not many
6'3", right? But how does she change a game? What are some things that does?
Well, you know, I think more than just being tall, obviously length is nice, but it's the player she is. You know, because you can have tall kids that can't catch, can't score, don't like contact. She's strong. I mean, you get out there. Kelly Sopak had her for us with club this summer, and he's had multiple McDonald's All-Americans, and he had to do post stuff against her one day. And he goes, Craig, she's one of the strongest kids I've ever gone against.
Yeah.
I mean, she's powerful, but she's now learning how to, you know, our strength training over the last 10 months, she's really changed her body. She's so much stronger and explosive. But just the ability to get a bucket in close when things are kind of funky or shots aren't falling. But, you know, she's really starting to understand the game, being more patient. She was playing a little sped up early, you know, coming back from injury and missed time and different things. And her basketball IQ is really growing. Her skill set's really growing. And so just to have that kind of presence in there that you can throw it into with confidence that something good's going to happen. And then you can't really guard her one-on-one. And so with the assets we have around her, it makes it a tough out because, you know, if you're going to, are you going to leave Keegan to guard her? Or are you going to leave Milani to double? Are you going to leave Bright? Like, you know, pick your poison. So she brings a terrific element to our team.
And it doesn't hurt those offensive putbacks, man. Those are such great bonuses, right?
Yep.
You can work for a shot and miss a shot, and then you got somebody that could put it back and get a couple points there. So team strength, though, you know, I've watched your program for the last 10 years. You know, I've seen great shooters. I've seen inside, outside. I've seen teams that rely a little bit more on defense. Like, what do you see this year's team strengths are compared to maybe past teams?
You know, we're longer than we've been in a few years, not just, you know, Alexis, but we start 5'9", 5'7", 5'9", 5'11", 6'3". So we're a lot longer than we've been. I think we're more balanced than we have been. We've been very reliant upon speedy guards and, you know, playing in pace, but I think we can execute differently this year on the half side with the development of Alexis and bring another staple and with the growth of some other kids' games. So I think we're probably more balanced that we could play a few different styles a little more freely than we have in the past. We're very deep again. I mean, we returned 11 kids from last year. We're waiting on Zion Williams to get healthy, who is a sophomore now and had a really good summer for us. She's been banged up, but is another offensive weapon for us when we get her back. But I just think our depth is really a big part. We can rotate a lot of kids in and not feel like you're dropping off much. Kids that are not coming in just to give minutes but are making impacts.
Tournaments this year. I tease it a little bit. So where are you guys heading? What type of competition are
you going to face? It's going to be – we had – you know, we're sitting at 8-0 right now, but the gauntlet's coming. We head up to Portland next week, and two of the top teams in the state are sitting up there, Willamette and South Medford. Willamette just lost at the buzzer to Jazzy Davidson and Clackamas, who's one of the top teams in the country. Jazzy, I coached in the summer, was number two recruit in the country, so – that's the type of team there. I mean, they lost by two to that team. And then when we go to Tampa, it's just there's literally a team we're supposed to play as a guard that I guess is like an inch from dunking. so we're going to see some of those. And then the tournament in Denver is really intriguing. He's a Nike Elite coach as well, and he went out and got pretty much state champions from all over or that caliber of team. And it's an 8-team field, but you look at it and everybody's like a state contender in there. So it's going to be three games of open division talent right before we get to league. So we're sitting at 8-0. We might come back 10-6. Might, you know, I don't know. But it'll be a great test for us. And then putting our kids always some great experiences. We're going to go to a Nuggets game and when we're in Denver. We've got an 11-day trip from Tampa to Denver. We're staying straight through. And we're going to probably catch a football game down in Tampa with the Bucks. And then putting them in front of college coaches. I mean, we have 10 kids playing right now at the next level. Tess Amundson playing professionally, 9 playing collegiately. We have 3 more committed already. We think we're going to get another commitment here in a little bit. But getting those kids up on that stage so colleges can get extra exposure besides, you know, club season's club, but you're going and watching, hoping they see you when there's 50 games going on.
Yeah.
Versus one game, one gym, more intimate, you know, they get to really hone in on and see you against other Division I teams and caliber kids. So that's always been a goal of ours, is to get our kids as much exposure to get their educations paid for as possible.
Yeah, that's clearly evident. And what's clearly evident, too, is that looking at what, you know, your swag that you bring into every show, you're Nike'd out. You got your Nike shirt, your Nike shoes. Again, you always make fun of me because, yep, if you look, yeah, I'm wearing Adidas today, right? You always want to, you know, punch me in my nose when you see me wear this stuff. But it's cool, right? You get this stuff for a reason because you guys are a high-level national program. You guys are Nike sponsored. So, you know, I see the backpacks. I see all that stuff. Everybody sees it as well. So how cool is that for your program?
You know, it's special. Nike came to us in 2009, and we were an Adidas school at the time. And or Adidas program, and they wanted us to come over, and we went with Nike, and we had just graduated that after our first year a ton of talent. That was a 2010 team, and we were going to be down for a couple of years rebuilding, and I was concerned, is this a 1 year, you know, if you lose, does it go away?
Yeah.
And it was pretty cool because the head of Nike grassroots that decides all this, not only for the high school side but for the EYBL, said, you know, we see what you're doing all the way down to fourth grade, and that sustained excellence is what Nike believes in. And in a lot of ways, you're a model of what we want to. They said, as long as you're the coach at Clovis West, you will be a Nike-sponsored school. And so that was really humbling to hear. They spoil our kids.
Yeah.
I mean, one, the gear is incredible. But, I mean, like these Kobe's that our coaching staff got, they're shoes you can't buy online. You can buy the similar model, but you can't get the color schemes. It's only made for the Nike sponsored teams. And it can be misleading because a lot of people buy Nike. To be a Nike Elite high school, I think there's about 150 of us in the country, which sounds like a lot on the girls' side, but that's out of 35,000 high schools.
Yeah.
So that's the 0.004%. So to get inundated with the amount of gear that they give our kids, they got 2 sweats and 2 shoes and special stuff you can't buy. And so to be a part of that Nike family is really – last year when we were in Portland, they have the Nike headquarters up there. And so we got invited to go and practice where Team USA practices on the Mike Krzyzewski courts up there. And so you walk in, and it's just this giant, I mean, huge glass wall looking out at the
–
I mean, you're just – it was so cool. I mean, as a basketball junkie, you're just sitting there. I mean, as a coach, you're trying to focus because it's like, this is pretty freaking cool.
There's a beam of light coming through the windows. There's angels singing.
No, I mean, that's right? How you feel. Yeah, and it's – I mean, we get products and invites to tournaments and stuff. There's so many perks that have come along with – I remember when Maddie went through her back surgery, Elena Deladon had gone through a similar surgery. And Nike had Elena Deladon reach out to Maddie on social media and wish her well. And so, I mean, those are just some of the things that has made it bigger than basketball and you know, long-time relationships.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And all this stuff doesn't happen by accident. That's for sure. And I'm curious, Coach, and just kind of how many hours, right? You talk about the summer and, you know, the late hours breaking down game field and you're crazy, you know, kind of like me, right? Crazy notes that you take, your scouting reports, and I mean, how many hours do you think? I mean, can you even estimate, like, not in a season, but for a full year? Like, what does that look like?
It would be impossible. I think an analogy. I had a coach years ago tell me that she had calculated 1 year what her hours were and what her stipend was, and she said she broke it down to 10 cents an hour, and I know. What she was putting in then is not what I and those of us that really throw ourselves into it put in now. So, I mean, if you're doing it for a stipend, you're you're in the poverty range because it's not what it's about. But I can't even put a number on it. It's a passion. It's almost an obsession. You know, I mean, I am 110% in or I'll be out. I could never half-ass it. That's not fair to the kids. And so it is every detail, every advantage, every edge that we can get, every opportunity we can provide. You know, it's just it, for me, it's always about going the extra mile for the kids.
Talking with Clovis West girls basketball coach Craig Campbell live here at First String Sports. We got another like 7 or 8 minutes here, Coach. All right, so let's just talk about, you know, we mentioned the tournaments that you're going to, the high-level competition. But how about just like overall high school sports in general? You got a good beat on football and, you know, boys basketball, obviously. But like, how do you think high school sports is? Excuse me. Just like, are we in a good spot, right? We're going to be talking with Coach Brad Rosnowski of San Joaquin Memorial Boys. Just the about the college landscape, right, and how it might be seeping into high school a little bit. I just want to know, like, you are Clovis West through and through, and that means a lot to you guys. You know, every team that throws on a jersey, that should mean something to the community, right? Are we losing that a little bit in the high school ranks? Am I, you know, get off my lawn kind of guy right now, the sky is falling? Or, what is your perspective on the healthiness of high school sports?
I think when you have unregulated money and influence into anything, you're leading towards corruption. I think the NIL is, there has to be some kind of regulation to it at some point. This, that we've gone from athletes getting nothing to no limits, and it was supposed to be name, image, and likeness. Like, I will go be on a billboard to represent your company so I can earn some backing for that. Now it's pay to play. They're just handing you $20 million at you know, a football school or a major boys basketball school. And it's gone the other way. To me, like you, there should still be, at the college level, I get the money behind it. The degree should still mean something in the process. And to how it's trickling down to high school, I think sometimes they play so many games in the summertime that maybe not every game's important, because summer we lost at 9. Well, we're back at 3. Let's go have deep dish pizza in between and ride a Ferris wheel. And so, you know, when you and I were in high school, when I lost on Friday night, don't talk to me till Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, I was bitter. I was pissed. And maybe I'm not healthy. I mean, maybe that's not the right way to look at things, but that's how I'm wired. And trying to get kids to still buy into that. I mean, there should be absolute pride in putting that jersey on and the name on the front. So you just, between social media and, you know, are you doing what you're doing for likes and retweets and posts, or are you doing it because of your love for the game? You know, if you're doing it for the love of your game and the love of your teammates, you're going to be satisfied at the end, I think. If you're doing it for the others, it's just that, you know, I'm not sure what you're chasing. And so we work hard to keep that out of our program as much as possible. It's just like talking to a guy the other day, every question, you finish playing a game, what's the first question you ask? How many points did you get?
Yeah.
They don't ask you how many assists did you get? How many charges did you take? How many box outs did you miss? How many plays did you mess up? You know, they don't ever ask the things that win and lose games. It's points, 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 points. And so we really try to keep that, you know, we don't post about points. We don't get caught up in it. We will when the kid reaches 1,000 points or some barrier, milestone. But there's one number that matters to us, and it's trying to get that win on the scoreboard.
And you guys have won a lot of games over the years. I'm curious, we got another couple minutes here, Coach, with you. You know, you talk about your obsession with the sport and your attention to detail. I love to tell the story that you guys were playing Hanford in a playoff game, and I think it was 25-0 at the end of the first quarter. And I asked you after the game, yeah, what was working right for you? And, you know, you guys were, you know, I scored them 25-0. And you're like, really? I didn't even look at the score, right? And I'm just like, okay. Yeah, this guy's built a little bit different. But I'm curious, like, what, you know, the satisfaction part, right? Like, during a game, are you more satisfied? Maybe that's something in the scouting report, something you worked on in practice to see that executed the first time. Or maybe it's not executed. You guys are, you know, a little discombobulated. You call a timeout, and you come back, and the girls do it right after that. Like, what do you find more satisfying?
I think probably the most satisfying is one, we put immense preparation into our opponents. And so to see our kids one step ahead when they're in the moment is pretty cool. When we're calling out, even before sometimes our coaches are saying it, our kids are saying, oh, this is such and such, and they're identifying the play or the set or where it's going. It shows that preparation has sunk in. And then probably not executing a play, because, I mean, we do those religiously all the time. We expect those to happen, is executing adjustments on the fly. Because we always have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, sometimes D, E, F, depending on who we're playing. You know, keep a few extra arrows in the quiver. But I think when it's a timeout or halftime and we need to do this, 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 and tinker with our base plan a bit, and to see him execute and then see that execution turn into a 18-2 run or yeah. something, those moments are cool, because teaching on the fly, that's higher level learning and application. So seeing the kids perform in those is probably more rewarding.
And again, you guys run a national level program. The attention to detail is evident, and that's why we're up to 12, right? 12 straight Central Section titles.
Yep, chasing 13 this year. We'll see how that rolls.
Incredible accomplishment. Always love catching up with you, Coach. Good luck the rest of the way. So today, 4 o'clock in East Gym?
East Gym. Our boys are having their tournament in the West. So any basketball fans could check out some boys. Come over, see the girls at 4. If you're a Clovis West fan, you could see us at 4. And then our boys play at 6 o'clock against Intercom.
Yeah, and Intercom, right? And I don't know if you heard, the power went out, right,
power
at school?
Out. Yep.
So it's back on. Everything's looking good.
It's back on, yeah.
Was there a power pole? Do you know the reason why?
It was the whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure exactly what happened. You know, we like to talk about shooting the lights out. That's not what happened. But, yeah, so we're back up and running.
Okay.
We had walked through in the main gym this morning. So
okay, all right, looking good. All right, thanks, Coach, for coming on. I'm probably going to check out your game and then – have a great Christmas.
Thank
and
you
I'm
too,
sure
man.
We'll yeah, I'm sure get, we'll
get
text
some,
each other.
Get
away.
Some good Star Wars stuff in your stuff.
I hope. That's always a hope. There's some baseball cards, right? So us, pop culture guys, right? We like our fun stuff. So yeah.
Greatest Christmas gift you ever got?
I remember when I was, so this would have been in 82. Man, I got an X-Wing fighter,
okay,
new in the box, and man, that was my prized possession for a long time. I still have it. It's still displayed, the original with the stickers ripping off and everything.
Yep.
So
my two favorite were the Snowspeeder with the little grappling hook and the Millennium Falcon.
If you have the Millennium Falcon, you're the coolest kid on the block.
That was epic. That was epic.
Everyone was coming over to your house.
Yes, I did not want to leave my living room for like a month.
don't take it outside, man. You're going to lose your little
Full
pieces of that.
Epic battles daily.
100%. Yeah. All right. Awesome. Good stuff. All right. Coming up next, we got John Hines, the Clovis boys basketball coach, on 1430 ESPN. All right. We got a few minutes here with John Hines, the Clovis boys basketball coach. We spent a lot of time the last couple of weeks. Funny, huh? We're just seeing each other at these tournaments and sitting for a couple hours watching some high school basketball. It's been a really fun time with Coach Hines. They are currently 4-3 on the season. They had a really nice 59-56 win last night against South of Bakersfield at the Clovis West Nike Invitational. So, Coach Hines, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well, Paul. Thanks for having me. Yeah, it's always fun, seeing you in the gym and having somebody to talk to and engage with during the game.
And sit and eat some food. So we had a little situation, though. Let's be honest here. So we're sitting there watching some games. We took care of the great spaghetti with some salad, some French bread, and you decided to go get yourself a cookie, right? A nice choice of cookies were there. And you come back, and you had a couple of them, and you took a bite. And it wasn't as expected. Unfortunately, it wasn't the gooey chocolate chip cookie like you thought it was going to be, because you bit into an oatmeal and raisin cookie. So instead of the sweet taste of chocolate, you got the raisin, didn't you?
Yeah, a little deception there. The food's great, the people are great, but it's always a little disappointing when you do that. And I know that thing happens every now and again, but for those who like oatmeal and raisins, I think they're just fine. But when you're looking for chocolate chips, you get tricked, a little deceivery, not great, but all in all, still an awesome experience from that hospitality room and the ladies over there.
And you recovered well, though, I got to say that. And and you did down the cookie. I mean, those were the best. Actually, there were some, what were those, cinnamon, like the cinnamon cakes, man, that I downed a couple of those. But anyway, we were definitely taken care of last night, or even this week, man. It's been a great event at Clovis West. And like I said, your team has been had that nice win last night. And I think the three losses before that were by a combined 12 points. So it was nice to get that win, right?
Yeah, well, absolutely. You know, the last five games, shoot, they've all come down in the last 2 minutes or last minute and a half. They've all been one possession games. And so for us right now, it's just a learning process and trying to figure out how to win close games because it looks like we're going to be in quite a few of them. We've got a good mixture of, you know, older and younger, but we've got about five or six guys who have never played varsity basketball that are getting big time minutes for us. And they're learning on the run and they're doing a really good job. But, you know, during the close, tight knit battles, you know, a lot of stuff has to go right. You got to execute, got to make free throws, got to, you know, understand personnel. And so for us, it's a learning process. And it was really nice to get a good win against South because they're a very good team. You know, but we've been in these close battles for the last couple games. So we're getting everything we need to out of all our early games, which is really nice. I think the scheduling's worked out really well for us. Obviously, we'd like to be 7-0, but, you know, we're getting better each game, and we're getting a lot out of what we're doing.
And you guys are playing today at 1:30, is that correct?
Yes, 1:30, and we got Edison and Stockton, another team that's right on our level, and so it should be a good one.
All right, so you've watched a few games, right, over the last couple weeks, you know, with or without you, with or without me, I should say. Who are some other teams that has impressed you, especially, I'm thinking, teams around in our valley, in our central section, some teams you're going to play later in the year?
Yeah, you know, I mean, honestly, a lot of the main days and the big boys of old look pretty good. You know, I got to get out to Clovis North and watch them, and they beat a couple impressive teams. So nothing new with Clovis North and their style of play and the guys they got going. We had Buchanan and East and Big Steel Christian in our showcase, and all three of those teams looked the part. I mean, I've watched East now two games, and they're tough as nails. Those guys playing extremely hard, and they've got a good group of young guys and older guys. So, I mean, they're extremely well-coached. Buchanan doing their thing with team defense and knowing their personnel, they're going to be extremely tough and hard out this year. But honestly, I think the most impressive team I saw, and I think you might be in agreement with me, was what we saw out of Memorial last night with their length and their team defense. I just don't know how you're going to put up 50 to 60 points on those guys. Those guys were very impressive.
Yeah, they look good. Coach Braz Rosnowski is coming on the show a little bit after 11 o'clock, so looking forward to talking to him. All right, so last night something happened, and Coach Campbell and I talked about it a little bit. He came from the gym, so the lights are good to go. Everything is good at Clovis West. You never know what you're going to get. So you and I are watching the Clovis East and Intercom game. Clovis East is just clawing back, and, you know, they just needed a bucket here, a bucket there. They got, I think it was a 10-point game at one point, 59-54. Technical foul is called, and boom, the lights go out. How crazy and fun. I mean, just kind of shrug your shoulders. Yeah, this is, you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, you get into a high school sporting event, and you never know. It's a very entertaining game. You know, two teams playing extremely hard. Tough and hard-nosed team. But, it's happened a few times, so you're not surprised by it, but it's always like a little jolt, like, oh, gosh, what are we going to do? And I feel for East almost, honestly, because, you know, they were battling back, like you said, and I think it was actually 59-55, and they were going to line to shoot two. And
yeah, okay.
So,
yeah, about all right.
So they were making some headway, and you never know. You know, they'll come back, try and get it taken care of today, but they would definitely have the momentum in their direction, so I don't know how they feel about having to stop. I don't know.
That's right. All right, so you got your big Clovis Elks tournament coming up after Christmas time. Tell us about that. How many teams are coming? Who's coming? Like, what kind of an event can we expect?
Yeah, well, just as far as the event in general, it's always a great time. You know, I'm so thankful for all the help we get and the people in our program that help run the tournament. We always have so many awesome teams, and, you know, you just create relationships when you do this kind of stuff. But this year, we've got 20 teams coming, so another really packed field. Like the headliners, we got teams from out of town. Pleasant Grove's coming in, Reno's coming in, west of Tracy, Merced, and then some just local teams that are having good seasons and are going to be really good, such as Hoover, Sunnyside, Edison. You know, and then we got the Bakersfield teams. We always have a good contingency of Bakersfield teams. Ridgeview, Independence, and Centennial, and Centennial is supposed to be really good. They're playing well, so we got a great field of 20, and it's going to be a fun 4 days of basketball. We always look forward to this, but this year is no exception, and I think we'd love to have as many people out there as possible and enjoy some local basketball.
Are you guys using two gyms, and what are the games starting at, like, 10:30? What does that look like?
Yeah, we got both gyms going, and, the first games actually – first games are, I believe, at – I think it's 12 o'clock or 12:30. I have to check that schedule, sorry. Because we have 10 games going, obviously. So I think we go at 11:30 and then 12:45 and stuff like that. So we stagger the gym so that you can go back and forth, it's nice to have games going in. You finish your game, you get to watch the second half another game before another one starts, and you can go back and forth and enjoy all kinds of stuff.
No lack of basketball here in the Central section, especially during this Christmas time. John, we got about another minute here. What are some of your, you're a Clovis West grad, you coached there as well before you took the Clovis High job. What are some of your great memories of Christmas time basketball?
Oh, you know what? We've had so many. I had a lot of good ones. We used to travel just at West or anywhere, Since I've been at Clovis, we've been running the Elks, and I think that's such an awesome experience. I think it's a lot of fun. But before that, we got to travel right after Christmas. And so we'd go to Torrey Pines, and, or we'd go to, Santa Barbara. We'd always get away to, some coastal area, play some big-time competition, and just playing teams that were, had national-ranked players and highly-ranked players or NBA players. Those kind of things were a lot of fun. Getting out to St. Anthony's and Bobby Hurley and just different stuff that always take away that really were exciting and fun. And I tell kids all the time, whether they're on my team or not, I've had a pit talk with a couple guys already this year about just enjoying their experience, whether you're playing, scoring, winning, losing, enjoying the guys that you have, and enjoying the opportunities to travel and the things that you get to do, because this stuff passes you by. And so don't take it for granted and enjoy it. But, I could sit there and tell you stories for days on it. But the main thing is just enjoying the opportunity to get away and be with friends and play a great sport that we all love.
Absolutely. Great stuff as always. Thanks for coming on, John. You're playing at 1:30 Clovis Elks. Make sure you guys check that out. And hopefully you'll get yourself a chocolate chip cookie today.
Sounds good. I appreciate it, Paul. Thank you.
All right, John Hines, head boys basketball coach at Clovis High. When we come back, we got Brad Rosnowski in the house, San Joaquin Memorial head coach. You're listening to Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN.
In a world where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world.
Yeah.
Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Hour number two of the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. The Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report, forgot to give in the morning. Did it, Coach Ross, was it raining outside when you came here?
It wasn't, but it looks like it looks like it may. Kind of weird out there right now. Kind of a strange last 18 hours.
The dark clouds are coming, and it's teasing us, and the wind is swirling. But I think it's going to be a high of 60 degrees today. So rain's supposed to stop if it hasn't already started at around 1 o'clock. So that's our Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. We got Brad Rosnowski here, the head boys basketball coach at San Joaquin Memorial. Started in 08. Was my research right on that? Did you start coaching at 08?
I started coaching. I was a freshman coach 06, 07.
Okay.
So, and then got the head job in 12 and 13. So
got it.
Yeah.
Okay. 87 grad from the school as well.
Yes.
Team is currently 6-2.
7-2.
7-2. All right. A shorter due win. 7-2 after that nice win against Clovis West last night. We got a good time catching up on Tuesday. Always fun to talk to Coach Ross. So I talked to Coach Campbell. I was, this is my last show before start up again in January. So I got a couple weeks off, Christmas, is basically already here, 11 days away. You know, see the lights here at First String Sports. Is there too early of a time to start getting ready for the Christmas spirit, right? Like I put our Christmas lights up. I was very proud of myself. After Thanksgiving, of course. And where are you a traditionalist? Like is there too early of a time, you know, to get ready for Christmas? Or what
do
you think?
Not in our family. Oh, okay. We had the lights up the Thanksgiving weekend. In fact, right before I came over here, we were finishing some stuff. My grandson's coming in. He's from Texas, lives in Texas, so he's coming in. So we're getting the house ready for him. He's got his 1-year birthday party we're going to have here in Fresno. So our house is has been in that Christmas spirit the last couple weeks.
This is a big Christmas for you then, right? So grandson, right?
Yes.
Turning a year and first Christmas with you guys?
Yeah. No, we're excited. I'd love to have them back here one day, but my son-in-law, as you know, Vince, and my daughter out there. So hopefully they'll get back here within a couple years.
Blessings abound for you guys. That is awesome. All right, I'll get there one day soon.
I know you were talking about that. You will, and you'll love it, Paul. Yep.
All right, so last night you guys had a really good win against Clovis West, especially after bouncing back from that loss the night before to Intercom. How happy were you with last night's game? It was a 15-0 run to start the game, shooting the ball well. I think all 15 points were via the three-pointer, so obviously that's going to open up the rest of the game. But, I mean, you guys started off quick and fast, and it was a really good game for you guys.
Yeah, we do. You'd have to have a short memory losing to Intercom. Intercom's a really good basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt like we had a chance to win that game. So short memory. We had a good little kids at finals Friday. Had a good little workout and film session yesterday afternoon, and the kids were locked in, ready to go. And, you know, the best thing about losing that game Thursday to Intercom was you get to come back 24 hours later. You know, and at the same time, Paul, you look at – it's not a lot of time to celebrate. You know, good win against a really good team in Clovis West. So we were breaking down film last night, me and the staff, and for Monterey Trail. So, and they're a really good team. So got to bounce back, and, you know, last night doesn't really mean so much if you lay an egg today. So we got to be ready to play because they're very good.
So Parker Spees impressed, especially in that first half. And I want to talk about a few of your players on this year's team because you got a really nice mix of, you know, seniors and juniors and sophomores and height and shooters, and you got a little bit of everything this year. So Parker Spees, especially in that first half, he's been an intriguing player since you had him on varsity as a freshman. I think he come in maybe at 6'5", 6'6". He's up to 6'8". Started off the game with a three in the corner. Had, three, four alley-oop dunks in that game, a couple other throwdowns. But talk about the impact defensively as well and offensively that kid made last night.
Yeah, he's such a unique player. And you're right, Paul. He was about 6'5", probably weighed, I don't even know if he weighed 100 pounds. You know, and he works hard in the weight room. He's still pretty skinny, but he's putting some weight on. And he's dunking on people now where he didn't do that last year.
Yeah.
But he's so unique because he can shoot the three. But if he's got to go in and play the post, if Jackson gets in foul trouble or something like that, you know, Parker's able to play the post and guard posts and be a rim protector. So he can play on the perimeter and down the post. That's what makes him so unique.
And he has the quick leaps as well, right? Like he could jump off of 1 foot or 2 feet. When he can block a shot, right? Like how neat is that? And then, you know, to have him kind of patrol there where he's not slow either, right? He can move up and down the court. For somebody to be that athletic and that tall and that long of a wingspan, defensively he makes an impact.
Yeah, he does. He's athletic. Doesn't look athletic, but he's athletic in length. He dunked one. There was an alley-oop. It wasn't a great pass, and he made up for I wouldn't say a bad pass, and we were playing in Vegas, and I've never seen him jump so high and grab the ball that the ball's going out of bounds. So he's got some sneaky athleticism, and, you know, the other thing about him, he's a great kid. He's so coachable, and he's 4.4 GPA with honors classes. So, he's going to play at the next level. Yeah. We hope to get him as high as level as we can with him.
Yeah, and I know his parents, dad's a lawyer, right? So he better get that GPA up, right? He better be over a 4.0. Yeah. So, yeah, he definitely has a unique skill set. He was fun to watch last night. Abram Potts, he scored 19 last night. That kid was hitting from all over the court as well. The impact that he made last night was impressive.
Yeah, such an elite shooter. But he has really improved all assets of his game with regards to guarding. You know, we usually put him or Sadu on the best guards. So he's really, you know, I think he was labeled a shooter maybe sophomore and junior
sure.
year. Mm-hmm. You know, people talked to him. But now, you know, talking to college coaches, he's an elite shooter, but he's just added so much to his game.
And Julius, his third year in the program, Oliver Wanju. I feel like Julius, you know, he really has come into his role. He's not forcing the issue like he was early in his career at San Joaquin Memorial. He's taking shots when they're available. He's a willing passer. His defense has improved. He's got a state championship to say for it as well. So how has his game improved? And, right, it's his senior year, so you expect a lot of your seniors as well.
Yeah, I mean, he would call him Steady Eddie. You know, last night I think he was 12-8 and 5 assists, 12-8, 8 rebounds. So he's the kind of kid doesn't have to score 20. And I think that's what makes him so unique also. And he's approaching 2,000 points for his career.
Wow.
And here's a kid that came from Kalinga that averaged 34. And he came here, and we had, you know, his sophomore year, we had Mike Davis and Amari Caraway, who were our leading scorers. And he took I hate using the term backseat, but he took a different role than he was at Kalinga, and he's accepted it. But now he's a guy that if we need to score him 20, he can. But like last night, didn't take a lot of shots. I think he had only 8 shots, but ended up with 12 points and filled the stats up, rebounds and assists too.
Efficient.
Yes, efficient's a great word. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, yeah, some guys, you know, if they're going to score 18 in the game, they're taking 20 shots, right? You're not really efficient. It means you're missing a lot of shots. Other guys aren't getting opportunities. Who are some other pieces of this year's team at San Joaquin Memorial that you guys are relying on this year?
It's such a struggle for our staff with our depth. I've never had, you know, we played 8 last night and Dominic Olenraju, a freshman, Julius's brother, has played in every game, and it just didn't fit last night as our ninth guy, and you know probably Monterey Trail starts two big kids, so Dominic will definitely get an opportunity today. But it's just tough. We come off the bench with Silas Rodriguez, Ty Shock, Jackson Silverstrom. Those guys, they all just have a unique skill set that helps us. We've really. You know, we're sitting there on the bench, not arguing. We're trying to figure out, God, what now? And
8-minute quarters go by fast sometimes.
They do. And, you know, but at the same time, it gives us opportunity. It might be a night for Ty, maybe. Could be a night for Silas or Jackson. I'm talking about guys that come off the bench. We might, you know, if we want to go small, we can. If we want to go big, we can. So we've really got some great opportunities to throw different lineups out there.
And then you got, 6'9 with Jackson Scarborough, 6'8 with Parker Spies. Defensively, right, you know, when you got those two guys on the court, are you just still sticking – obviously you're not giving away game plans or anything like that, but you're still sticking man-to-man? Are you going to maybe every once in a while throw in a zone, right? Are you ever tempted to do anything like that?
We were tempted last night, but we thought we did a pretty good job. I mean, that's a high-octane offense with Nick Runs over there, and we held him to 53 points. And I think our average right now is in that low 50s for the year. We always say that, you know, sometimes we're not great offensively, but in fact, the Endicott game, you know, they were averaging 77, and we held them to 59, and unfortunately, we scored 53. So I think we've got some unique skill set where we could go big if we want to. And the thing that turned around the Endicott game, we were down 12. We ended up, we have a 1-3-1, ended up, and that really, they struggled a little bit with that. So yeah, we. With that 1-3-1, we can go Parker up top and do some different things. So, yeah, it's something we feel comfortable with, and you'll probably see a lot more from us.
Looking forward to that. Again, a really nice roster at San Joaquin Memorial this year. What are some other tournaments you guys are playing in the rest of the year?
Sure, so showcases. This is, we're playing 3 tournaments. We'll finish up today, and then we'll go to Bakersfield High, which is really – got a new coach over there doing a good job over there. We go there Friday night, and then we'll leave. We're not sure yet if we're going to – I think we're going to leave the day after Christmas. We go down to San Diego playing the Torrey Pines, which is really a historic tournament. Great team. We've done the Damien Classic the last 4
years.
Okay,
yeah.
And they've been good to us, and we just decided there's an off day. So it's kind of a strange little setup. So we're going to play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 26th, 27th, 28th. In California, CIF doesn't allow you to play Sunday. So I figured – a day off, I'd rather probably be in San Diego than the Corona Riverside area. So we're going to go down there. And we went down there and we had Jalen, and they took really good care of us, and it's a great tournament. So that's the last tournament. And then we'll play in a couple shows. We'll play in the Pagmeter Fresno Christian one, and then Sanger NorCal Sports has one. We're going to play Moreau Catholic in that one. So and then, you know, kind of it's season's here, bounce right in the league. So
I know,
it's
right?
Crazy.
Get through Christmas and those games that you guys are playing and come back the first week of January and league starting. Oh, so yeah, I'm curious. I talked to Brad, Brandon Gilbert, the mm-hmm. Bullard athletic director, talked to a few other people. C-Mac looks different this year. I try my best to explain, I think, a couple shows ago, but I don't think I did a great job. So there's different tiers, right? So like Roosevelt now, Sunnyside, Fresno High maybe. So help me out here. What's the league looking like?
There's three tiers. They call C-Mac 1, C-Mac 2, and then there's the NYL.
Okay.
So C-Mac 1 is us, Bullard, Sunnyside, and Hoover. So that's four teams. We'll play everybody twice. So
okay.
That's six games. We will cross over to the C-Mac 2, which is Fresno, Sanger, Roosevelt, and Fresno. We'll play those teams each once. So there's our 10 league games. Six in ours.
Got it.
We'll cross over and play one of them. So there's our 10 league games. All league selections still come from your four conference teams, and then the other one will have theirs. And then the NYL, I believe, is like Torres, Garza, Sanger West, and I'm sorry, I'm missing somebody. I don't know who it is, but that's the third one.
Maybe another directional school.
Madera. I think it's Madera.
There you go. Cool. Is that something that's going to be revisited after every year and you guys can switch it up, or is it going to stay for a couple years?
I'm hearing stuff that it'll switch up next year. The central schools might be involved because now Central West is going to be the third central school. So I think this is just for this year. And maybe go back to a six-team CMAC with maybe throwing a couple central teams in there. But I think the following year could be different.
Things are
especially with Clovis South coming in.
That's it. I was just going to say that, right? So you got Clovis South coming in next year, starting with 7th, 8th, and 9th graders, I believe. Things are going to be looking a little bit different, right? Maybe a lot different in the next couple of years. Maybe 3 years or hearing about a super conference, right? You just have different tiers.
The interesting thing, Paul, next year, I believe football stays the same. The CMAC is the same. So they're not doing what basketball's doing. So it's really the individual sports that are making the changes, which is kind of rare.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. I'm excited to play those Sunnyside, Hoover. They got good teams. And cross over and still get to the Edison Rabbit we have, the Sanger. So we get to cross over and play those teams. So
you mentioned a little bit, Coach, about the Nike Invitational. It's a fun event, a lot of local teams, great crowds over the years. What are some other schools that you kind of keep an eye on, some schools that have impressed you? Clovis East, right? They're really, really strong. Obviously you played Clovis West. What are some other schools you're like, man, that school could be a little bit of a problem this year?
I think down south, Garrett does a great job with Bakersfield Christian. I think down there, them. And then I think it's hearing John earlier, I think that whole track is good.
Yeah. Buchanan, those guys, they need to stick around during this time, man.
Yeah.
I want to see those guys. I'm sure you guys do.
I think Tom goes out of town.
Yeah.
And obviously seeing East, so impressive, and having a guy like Adrian and Buchanan. Mm-hmm. I got to give kudos to Nick Podesta at Clovis West. I think they're gonna win a lot of games. I know they're struggling win-loss right now, but you look at that first four games he played, and you look at the four teams they played in our tournament.
Well, the first four games of the season they lost. Those teams, I think as of like Wednesday, were 19-0.
Yeah. They're gonna win a lot of games there. They're gonna win a lot of games in the track. So obviously Clovis East, Buchanan. Bullard looked good.
You know,
they weren't healthy yesterday, but they look good. And I know, obviously, Clovis North does what they do.
Yeah.
And we're all, I feel like, Paul, we're all chasing St. Joe's.
I know.
I haven't seen them live, but from what people are telling me, they're number four in the state. They might be the best team in the state. Obviously, we're all kind of chasing them, I feel like. And Tony did a great job, got them last year, but I think they're even better in last year.
Yeah, I think they've... They were really going all in this year. That's a good way to say it.
Yeah
they're number four according to Cal High Sports.
Yeah.
Don't think they've lost a game. They're playing what they played in the Philippines to start the year. They're going to a lot of these national things. So, and I believe that they're coming to Clovis West. I need to check that out. I think Clovis West is playing them in January.
Yeah, Nick is done, and I think they are coming here for a non-league game first week. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. All right, we're going to take a break. I'm bringing you on for more. If
Absolutely.
Brad's coming on the show, we're going two segments. We're going to be talking about some interesting subjects. So I'm very excited for you guys to hear this. How is the landscape changed with college and recruiting. And you know, Coach Roz has sent a lot of guys to high-level colleges, and obviously Jalen Green to the NBA. So how has the landscape changed, right, with NIL, collective, and all that stuff? We're going to be diving into that subject. It's going to be very, very interesting to see what Coach Roz has to say about that subject. And we might have a little bit of a baseball talk. I don't know if you saw, I brought out a couple things out of my backpack here to my right, a couple vintage baseball cards. Right. So I don't know. We might have a little baseball talk as well. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right. Thank you guys for your support and continuing to listen to the Central Valley Sports Report. We've got Coach Brad Rosnowski here live at First String Sports for segment number two. I must like talking with you or something, right? To bring on for two segments? Huh? Talking about anything and everything. I brought some vintage baseball cards because his dad, Vic, was part of the 1966 Baltimore Orioles World Series championship team. So talking a little bit about baseball, and you know, Roberto Clemente was MVP that year. Sandy Koufax was a Cy Young Award winner in 66, and Frank Robinson was the MVP, a teammate of your dad's. Let's go ahead and talk about that just for a second. Then we'll get into some of the more heavier stuff, yeah. Right? I mean, what are some great memories or stories that your dad has told, maybe even about Frank, or what was Boot Powell on that team too?
Boot Powell was on that team. My godfather Mo Drabowski was the king of jokes. You know, he was just the guy that, you know, cracked a lot of jokes. He brought a snake into the clubhouse. And I think my most memorable moment, Paul, was in 86. I was a junior in high school, and that was the 20-year anniversary of when they won the World Series. And I went back and with my dad, and they had an old-timers game. They played the Washington Generals or something, and just meeting a lot of those guys. I think most of them were still alive. When I went back in, I think it was 06, which would have been the 40-year anniversary, if my math's right, a lot of them had passed away, mm-hmm. You know. But the 86 was pretty special, meeting a lot of those guys, yeah. Went to Mo's. Mo had a couple of restaurants. Boot Powell had a couple of restaurants, and we went to the restaurant, so... Yeah, just a special team, and my dad's just so fortunate to be part of it.
Did anything stand out to you, like to Boot Powell? I know he's a big personality guy, obviously a great name. He had a big hand or anything, a big left-handed stance, I think, too, right?
He had a big stance, yeah, and I just remember him. We went to his it was a crab house that he had in Baltimore, and he had the big bib on, and it felt like he was on two chairs, and he was just eating, and he had food for everybody. So Boog was a character, yeah. Boog was a character.
Eat at Boog's. All right, that's awesome. So I am curious about the landscape now, Brad. You know, the transition, so to speak, of kids going from high school to college, how they're getting recruited, what that looks like, the money, the payments, the budgets that some schools have, the incredible, crazy budgets that a lot of the blue bloods have now. How has that changed, right? When you're talking to college coaches about kids, like, what are they asking you? What are you guys discussing?
Yeah, I think it's changed a lot because the conversations are different now. They're Coach, can your guy help us right now? We need to win right now. Whereas maybe back in the 18, 19, 20, 21 years, you know, they bring a kid in or call me about a kid and say, you know, we're probably going to redshirt him, you know, and hopefully he can help us as a sophomore or junior. But it's changed, Paul, and I know we had the conversation the other day about it. I mean, these college coaches need to win right now, and unfortunately I think it's affecting high school kids. We're not getting maybe as many calls. You know, they're in the portal, and, you know, it's funny watching the end of the college football season. As soon as the season's over, these kids are on their phone and they're announcing themselves in the portal, and it's changed. And unfortunately, you know, unless you're a 4 or 5 star high school basketball player and probably football too, the looks aren't there. There's not as many looks that are calls you're getting, which is just unfortunate. So it's drastically changing, affecting, I think, the high school players more than anything.
Do they know this, the high school players? Are they figuring out, or is it just like,
it's a tough conversation. I've had the conversation with some kids. It's tough. You know, because they all want to play. And, you know, I have some kids that will play at the next level, but maybe instead of that D1 level, they may be at that D2 level. But you know, there's no reason why they can't be at that level for a couple years and eventually play D1. Or JC.
Yeah.
You know, we had Amari Caraway 2 years ago. He's at Eastern Arizona. And I've had three calls in the last week from D1s that he's playing so well there. So he probably has a chance to play at that D1 level next year. And there's a kid that, you know, went to the JC level, National Junior College, and is doing real well. So
how is the money part, right? Like, I don't even know what the conversations might look like, right? So I'm just thinking of Vance Wahlberg. He had a certain budget. He had to get guys with money. And I don't have inside information. I don't know what amounts are. I do have one. We're going to get to that in a second. That BYU kid getting $7 million. That's wild. But, like, is that a huge deal now? Like, kids have more power, so to speak? Like, college coaches have less? Like, what, am I missing something there?
No. The powers with the players. And it's funny you brought up Vance, because I'm real close to his staff and talking to his staff when Vance got hired and the guys were hired. And you know, I would talk to them a few weeks in. How are you guys looking? We don't know. We're in the portal. We're seeing how much money we have. We haven't even got the kids on the floor yet. We don't even have a roster yet. So, you know, that first 6 to 8 weeks, that staff was, and I think this is especially a new staff, you know, they're trying to fill the roster.
Yeah.
And it's they're seeing how much money they have. They're doing the math. And and I did go to one of Vance's practices, and he said, you know, it's, you got to have money. It's he didn't beat around the bush beat around the question I asked him. He says, yeah, you got to have money to get players, and it's crazy right now. And I think the power's with the players, and, you know, guys going to offer them $100,000, they might get $120,000 down the road. I think Donovan Yap's a perfect example. I think Fresno State wanted him.
Yeah.
And San Jose State offered a little more, and he's at San Jose State, a good player. And it's crazy, Paul. I don't know when it's going to end, how it's going to end, if it will end. You know, the suggestion I had, you look at college football. You know, I wish they would. There's a max for the conferences. Like,
sure.
Let's say the SEC, the max is $10 million. So that's $10 million for all 16 teams. That's the max. You know, and in the Mountain West, maybe it's, you know, $5 million. That's the, you know, you can give up to five. Some teams maybe can't get $5 million, but I don't know. I think from year to year, it's going to change.
There has to be an end game, right? I've had a. Andrew Guzik, he went on to Ohio State, but he worked for Fresno State, and he was the final stamp for NIL stuff. So we talked about that, right? And you used the phrase, the wild, wild west. It's out there, right? And there's no cap to anything, like you mentioned. Right? What is the end game? When is the bubble going to burst, so to speak? Right? The BYU kid, $7 million, right? Preps in Utah, if I'm not mistaken.
He started a prolific prep. And
did
the funny,
okay.
The funny thing is BYU wanted him closer.
Okay.
So now he's at Utah prep, which is in Salt Lake. So, you know, there's probably some money involved there. Probably, I would think BYU people maybe gave some money to Utah prep, said, go get him. We want him. We want him in our backyard. So there's no, you know, because he stays a prolific prep, he's probably hearing. I don't know if anybody would give him $7 million, though.
Yeah.
Is that the right number?
That's the number.
I mean, that
and that's
is,
it's public, right? You Google it, and different stories pop up. That's the number.
And it's for 1 year.
It's for one, and he's going to be
he's
one.
He's going to be the number one pick. He's going to be a top two or three pick. He's really good.
Yeah.
And good for BYU, and they got a good program. You got a first year coach over there, and they're really good right now. And to get the number one player is, I know he went to Alabama. You saw him on recruit trips to Alabama, Kansas, and. From what I was told, he was always going to go to BYU, you know, at $7 million. So that's just some people there in Utah with some money and say, let's get this kid. And you look at Ohio State, $20 million football, you know.
Yeah.
In Oregon, Phil Knight said, you just get whoever you need. And
before I die, I want to win a national title.
Yeah,
he said
and
that.
Number one, they're, and their roster's loaded. So it's about raising money. It really is as a coach.
I know. It's wild. So let's flip it a little bit, right? So BYU gets their guy, gets him for 1 year. Look at the national exposure already drummed up for BYU, right? Whoever, you know, chipped in for that collective of $7 million, they say it's probably worth it, mm-hmm. right? The competitive balance, is that going to see a shift now in college basketball? We saw it in football, obviously the 12 teams now in the playoffs, right? Like, I mean, those teams technically all have a chance to win a national title. Competitive balance could be there, right? I mean, who knows, the 12 seed might win. You never know, right? Crazier stuff has happened. Has in college basketball, do you think that might be the case where BYU, heck, they might be the fifth-ranked team in the nation next year, and that might bring in better recruits? I mean, all that stuff certainly matters.
I think you hit on the nail. I think the powers to be, the blue bloods, are going to stay because there's money in those programs. Yeah. There's former players. Let's flip it over to college football again and Bill Belichick. How many former players still love him and are going to help him out with money? So he's probably going to have an unlimited amount of money to get players. And I think Coach K and it was before Roy Williams' time, but Coach K, and there's another, who am I thinking?
We all know Coach
retired.
K.
I don't think they really wanted to deal with this. They saw it coming, and I'm thinking of someone else.
Villanova coach.
Oh, yeah, Jay Wright. Just probably saw this coming and just didn't want to deal with it. Kind of old school guys, and not used to this. They were just in families' living rooms to say, hey, we're going to give you a free scholarship.
Sure.
And some shoes, that's all they had to do. But now it's just changed.
It's definitely different
because you can think you have a kid, and someone's going to give $100,000 more. And unfortunately, these kids are gonna flock.
Who's ever got the most money at that time could get that kid, and it could only be for the year. But to me, and I, Coach Campbell was just on the show. We talked about it a little bit.
Yeah.
But, he and I and you, we're kind of cut. You've been at Salmon King for a while. You're an alum of the school. We're cut from the same cloth, right? The name across your chest means something, right? When you put on that jersey, you play basketball for Clovis West. It means something, right? Tradition. For you, Salmon King Memorial means a lot to you. I've been at my school for this is my 28th year, right? I tell my kids that. When you make the team, and I give you a jersey, when you walk off that bus, you're representing a lot of things, right? I feel like that's getting lost a little bit, especially with college, right? Like, it used to mean a lot to be an Ohio State Buckeye. Now it's, hey, what can you do for me, right? Where's the money at?
Yeah.
I want to win a national title, which nothing wrong with that, right? That's good stuff. But, right, the tradition should run pretty deep.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the, affecting the high school kids. Coaches want to win now, and they have the money to win now. And you're not going to see kids develop in the same program for 4 years. It's very rare. I know Clemson, I think Dabo Sweeney is the kind of guy. He's not a big portal guy.
Yeah.
he probably does have NIL money, and they probably could be better than they are. They're pretty good.
Yeah.
But I think he's one guy that's kind of staying away. Nick Saban's the other guy that I
think. Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Nick didn't want to deal with that. I don't even know if Nick has a cell phone. I've heard he doesn't even have a cell phone.
A flip phone, maybe.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it's win now, Paul.
Yeah.
And coaches are, this kid might be in the portal next year. We got him right now. Let's take advantage of him right now. So it's wild. It's kind of sad at the same time to see because it just changes the landscape.
It does. And you watch a college game. These college games are going to be played. The playoff system. There's going to be a lot of people at those games. They're still making a lot of money, right? Those stadiums are going to be packed, right? I think it's almost become a minor league system, right? It kind of has been over the years, obviously, but it's like more with the money. But I still think the fans are excited, right? The shows are still out there talking about the games. So I think, the fans still love it, but you're always checking the roster, right?
Yeah.
Oh, who do we keep? Who do we lose in the portal? I mean, you see that with Fresno State football this year, right? For the couple weeks, when before Coach Entz was named the head coach, you're seeing dudes leave the Fresno State program
24 hours after they lost their game. Yeah. And I did hear something on ESPN Radio yesterday. I can't remember who it was, but they talked about college football being the minor leagues of the NFL.
Yeah.
Kind of like kids are going to get paid and trying to work their way up to the NFL. So that's what it's becoming. I don't see this lasting. I wish they would cap it off. I don't think you could say $10 million for every college team. I think you have to – that's too extreme. I think you have to cap it off by conference at least and give everybody a fair chance in that individual conference.
All right, Coach Rouse for commissioner of the SEC. There you go, commissioner of NIL. All right, you put your name out there. We got another minute or so with you. Thanks for coming in. You guys got a game today, right? You mentioned Monterey Trail at 4:30. That great win against Clovis West last night. You've had some battles against those guys. Is it true? Do you know this? Is it Has it been 7 years since you guys have beat West? Am I wrong? Are you going to?
Well, we're. I'll tell you this: we were 0-7.
There it is. Okay.
At there, and a couple of the years we lost in the playoffs too, so lost twice. But we always would play. Vance would kind of set up the bracket. We'd play them on Friday night in the semis of his tournament. 0-7, and then I was 3-0. You know, I beat him at Sellen. We beat him at Modesto Christian. Beat him at home. So I was 3-7 against them in my career, and 0-7 at home. So I got a lot of texts last night. I said, "Well, I guess you can actually win over there." You know, so they're just so well. They just play so well in that gym. They shoot it well and everything. And
I love that gym. I love your gym too, right? Yeah. It's just got the old school feeling, and everything is tight and packed. And you know that playoff game. Was it last year when you played against Nick's team, against Western Ranch, or 2 years ago?
That was 2 years ago we played, yeah.
Gosh, that place was so loud, I could not hear myself think or talk.
Yeah, yeah, it's fun in that gym when it's crowded.
All right, so playing today again at 4:30, and then you're, taking a break for a while and getting back after it next week?
Kids got finals, so we'll take 2 days off, get back Wednesday, and we play next Friday in Bakersfield.
Friday in Bakersfield. Yep. All right. Good stuff, my friend. Thanks for coming on. Lots of good content, right? And you do a fantastic job at SJM. You know, everybody that I run into just speaks volumes about you, your mentorship, how you've helped assistant coaches, along in their career. So, and you've been a good friend to me. So I appreciate you coming in and talking about sports and whatnot.
Thank you, Paul. Wish you and the family Merry Christmas. Enjoy the next couple weeks off. And you know what? You do a great job, too. And I enjoy coming on. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. All right. Coming up next, we got Scott Bemis coming on. He's remote. He is down in SoCal. I didn't really get to the football scores, but Frontier won their state D3 division AA last night. Congrats to Frontier of Bakersfield for winning state title. Unfortunately, Lindsay ran into a really good team last night, a Catholic school, a private Catholic school, beat them 42-8. But what an incredible season for the Lindsay Cardinals. And we got the big one at 3:30, Central High against Edison of Huntington Beach. Scott Bemis is there, so we're going to be talking with him about last night's game a little bit and then preview the Central game and maybe a little Fresno State football talk about their new coach, Matt Entz. I want to hear his opinion about that. You're listening to All on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Coach Roz from San Joaquin Memorial about the landscape of college basketball related to high school basketball and all that stuff. He's talked to a lot of dudes. He didn't get into that because he's talked to everybody, mainly because of Jalen Green, high-level recruit, obviously. But, yeah, great perspective. I'm bringing in right now Scott Bemis. He's a friend of the show, does a fantastic job. He's sports director at KC24. He's in SoCal right now. Lots of stuff happening, so very thankful to have Scott on the final segment of 2024 of the Central Valley Sports Report after taking a couple weeks off and coming back in early January. Scott, my friend, how are you doing? What's the weather like, and where are you right now in SoCal?
The weather is nice, Paul. I'm actually in front of Omar, Newport Beach area. I'm with some family right now. Gonna head down to South Orange County here in a few hours and go watch some state championship football and cover it between Central and Edison High at Huntington.
That's gonna be a great game. Were you able to go to the Lindsay game last night or not?
I was. I didn't make it for the whole thing. Southern California traffic got the best of me there for a little bit, so I arrived at around halftime, a little bit of the late second quarter, and then saw the second.
And they lost 42-8. But from everything that I heard, it was a different level of football. A lot of people were saying it was Moreau Catholic. How the heck were those guys in the lowest division, right? Division 7, what, AA, right? And how were they in that division? Because they said those guys look like, I mean, it was just, let's just put it that, it was a different level of football for Lindsay.
Yeah, in what I saw in the second half, and they have some dudes. Catholic does. And it was probably a little bit of a mismatch. You know, Lindsay was going to have their hands full to stay in that game. Now, Lindsay apparently, handed them a few touchdowns, but it was some good plays as well by Monroe Catholic. But apparently, I think a defensive touchdown in the first half, and then they also had a pick six in the second half give Lindsay credit. They kept fighting, you know, all the way until the end. And, you know, it was fun to see that community kind of rally around the Cardinals and make the trip down to SoCal. And it clearly was just a special thing for Lindsay to be in that situation. But to actually beat a team like Moreau Catholic out of Hayward, I mean, if you saw them, yeah, Paul, they've got some dudes on that team. So, I don't know. I'd have to go in and kind of look at the what they're from the North Coast section, I believe.
Yeah.
I'd have to kind of see how it all played out there. But you know how it is with the state tournament sometimes. It's kind of a big jigsaw puzzle to kind of put all these teams together in the different divisions. And, you know, sometimes you get a good matchup, and sometimes maybe you get a matchup against a team that maybe could be in a little bit of a, you know, higher division.
Yeah, that's the sense that I got. But what a great season for Lindsay. And you talk about a great matchup. This is going to be a fun one at 3:30. I'm happy. I'm a little bit jealous that you're able to watch this game live. It is Central and Huntington Beach, Edison of Huntington Beach, I should say, for the D1 title game. Central's playing at a high level right now. Last week they looked really good, especially in the first half in their win at home. Just talk about this game and what it means, and just the incredible job that Coach Kyle Biggs seeking their second state championship. What are you expecting in this one?
Well, I was kind of looking at it a little bit. I haven't had a chance to watch too much of Central, you know, this year, Paul, to be perfectly honest. The games that I went out to cover in person were usually the non-Clovis games this year and the non-track games. And so, you know, I have seen a little bit of them, you know, in person. In what I've seen, I've been impressed. By them, although I would say, you know, for a Central team, right, this maybe isn't the Central team that we saw in 2019, right, when they won,
yeah.
You know, was it a 1AA state championship? I think they're the only team from our viewing area, our area that we're from, to ever win that high of a division of a state title. You know, obviously that team had the likes of, like, Jeremiah Hunter and Xavier Worthy on it. I think maybe even, you know, Bigelow running back, although I'm not 100% on that, but this year's team, I think, just a little bit more of the collective whole, right? With one great player mixed in with Brandon Smith at running back. Of course, you got a sophomore at QB in Jelani Dipple. And I think this really speaks to kind of the program and the overall culture that Kyle Biggs has built at Central, that they can kind of just plug and play, you know, with, you know, maybe some younger guys, you know, maybe that the whole, you know, is maybe better than all the individual parts, per se, right? And so I think it really speaks highly of Central that they're able to get to this point. And I also think it's helpful that they're in the third highest division, right?
Yep.
In the state tournament this year, right? And that they didn't get put in, you know, the second highest division, like we saw Clovis North, right, for example, last year after
– against De La Salle, yeah.
season and having to travel to De La Salle, right? And we kind of saw what happened, you know, with that game. And that can happen sometimes. I was talking earlier about, you know, the matchups in the state bracket. You know, it can kind of be a little bit of a crapshoot, you know, at times, who you end up playing, what division you get put in. And, you know, if Clovis East ends up winning the Central section title, I don't know this for a fact, but my guess would be maybe they would have been put, right, into the Division I AA bracket. Whereas Central with, you know, I think they have two losses, right, this year.
Yep.
You know, they get moved down a division. And I think in the end, that actually is somewhat beneficial, right? Because they get put more into a division where they can really handle themselves, right? You know, and I know Edison out of Huntington Beach, you know, I know they got a great running back, just like Central does. So Central's got Brandon Smith at, you know, Edison High out of Huntington. They've got a running back. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I know he's committed. I think he's committed to Montana. He's rushing nearly 2,500 yards.
He is. He's a bruiser. I think he had 39 carries in one game this season. And, yeah, you know, Brandon Smith, he's the electric guy. He's shifty. He moves. But this kid is tough to bring down. We saw him in that first game against Clovis West when Clovis West beat Edison at Huntington Beach. So one of the keys definitely is to bottle up that guy.
Well, yeah, for sure. And so, like, you know, it's funny because, okay, you got those two running backs there, right, you know, who are put up these huge numbers this season. And then it looks like you got two sophomores, right? You got Jelani Dipple, of course, at Central at quarterback. But it looked like, you know, looking at the stats, that Edison High also has a sophomore at quarterback. So it's kind of an interesting dynamic, right, here. And Edison High out of Huntington, they were the Division III Southern Section champ, right? You know, and I think generally acknowledged, right, that the Southern Section is probably the most – deep and most powerful section, you know, throughout the state. And so this will be an interesting matchup. You mentioned Clovis West having played Edison High out of Huntington earlier this year in the season opener, I believe, for Clovis West up in Clovis. And, Clovis West actually beat them, you know, in that game. Really tight game that came down to the wire. It sounds like you were at that game. So I got to think that gives Central a ton of confidence, right? All knowing that, hey, this is a team that a track team that we beat, Clovis West, you know, beat Edison earlier this year. And so I figure any kind of, like, there's going to be no intimidation factor, right, about playing a Southern Section team, you know, in any way, because Central's going to think, hey, we belong on the field with these guys, and we should probably go in as the favorite.
100%, yeah. Just knowing what Coach Kyle Biggs does and the makeup and the personality of this team, yes, they are young, but the confidence is high, man. They're playing like dogs, right? And, you know, you hear that they're playing like a dog out there, and so that's what Central's doing. I think they're going to come out on top. That's my opinion, and I'm looking forward to your reports on that. I'm going to be trying to watch that online as well. Scott, we got about 3 minutes here. I'm curious on your thoughts on the new Fresno State football hire, Matt Entz. This is something we could talk about for about a half an hour. I'm almost squeezing in, but now the dust has settled a bit. Emotions have come down, right? I mean, Coach Tim Skipper, he's a beloved member of the community. But right now, what are your thoughts about the hire?
Well, I think there's a couple different things in play here. So, first off, going to the press conference, listening to Matt Entz, you can't come away unimpressed with him, right? You only come away impressed listening to him. And usually, you know, guys who have gotten to this level, right, and are in position to be hired as a head coach at a major college football program, they're impressive individuals. And so Matt Entz, to me, I don't know much about him, you know, besides just what I read, but when I got a chance to talk with him and listen to him at that press conference and work the room there, because it was an interesting room, right, because, you know, not only do you have all the media and alumni and some boosters there, but you also had current players in the room.
So
that was an interesting room to have to navigate, right, you know, for a new coach, especially considering the situation and the circumstances under which he was hired, where a beloved current coach and former Bulldog is getting passed over for the job. And so I was very impressed with Matt Entz, with the way he handled that room, what he had to say, and he may turn out to be a really good football coach. Having said all that, I also understand it from the other side, and if I was the one making the hire, I think it would have been hard to pass over Tim Skipper, considering everything that was in play, considering that you probably have a better chance of retaining some of the guys that ended up hitting the portal. Not all of them. There's going to be some guys who went in the portal no matter what. But you have an opportunity probably to retain a few of them. And so basically when you're kind of, you know, passing over Tim Skipper, you're not just passing over Tim Skipper, you're passing over the current coaching staff, guys like, you know, Jethro Franklin and, you know, Matt Smith and, you know, maybe a J.D. Williams, although you never know, maybe one or two of these guys could be retained by the new coaching staff. But you're basically kind of ending this era that kind of goes back to Jeff Tedford, right? And so I don't know if in the end I could have made the move. Having said all that, I am very impressed with what Matt Entz had to say at that press conference and the way that he carried himself and handled himself. And his resume certainly has been, you know, very sparkling to this point. And so, you know, it's not a knock on Matt Entz in any way, but I'm excited to see what he can do. But there is a little bit of a big reset that's going on here because he has decided to go in a different direction.
Wow, very well said, Scott. It's almost like you went to school for this, getting in and getting out, getting your thoughts all succinct and well thought out. I thank you, my friend, for coming on. We'll get you on next year in 2025, and we'll talk more about sports around the Central Valley. Thanks, Scott, for coming on. Appreciate it.
Hey, you got it, Paul. TV guys, we know about a hard out, Paul. Yeah.
You know that phrase. I struggle with that phrase, too. Sometimes I talk way too much. But, again, thank you, Scott, for coming on. Appreciate you.
You got it, Paul. Thanks.
All right. That's going to wrap up today's show. Again, thank you guys for listening. This is the last show of 2024. We'll be back again in a couple of weeks. Got a lot of stuff to cover for the next couple of weeks as well. Check out some high school basketball. There's lots of good stuff being played right now. Thanks very much to the people at First String Sports. Really appreciate them. They do a fantastic job here. Thanks to Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, Jeremiah Cunningham for producing the show, Craig Campbell, John Heights, Brad Rosnowski, and, of course, Scott Bemis. Have a great Christmas, everybody, and we'll talk to you guys in January.